I want to talk about the competent and caring servant. The competent and caring servant. The text of chapter 16 is an amazing and wonderful. I would encourage you to read. Matter of fact, I'd encourage you to read chapters 15, 16, and 17. Because when you put them all together in chapter 15, what you see is an individual who was an absolute nobody, and God elevated him to a high level and placed his anointing on him so that he could do what God had called him to do. But the anointing does not take away the permissive will that you have to do or not do what God says. So the picture in chapter 15 is an individual who went as high as you could go, and then after he got to a high level, decided to walk away from the known will of God. And when he did that, God said, I'm sorry that I ever blessed him. Chapter 16, you see a fella who still got sheep stuff on his boots, and God raises him from the pasture. Ultimately, he will land all the way in the palace, all because he walked in accordance to the will of his earthly father and heavenly father. Here's what you get. In one chapter, you got somebody who's up and is on his way down. In another chapter, you got somebody who's down, but he's on his way up. And in these chapters, you see the hand of God moving. In this chapter, you have three individuals that are very, very competent and caring. When I use the word competent, I'm really just saying the ability and skill to make decisions to accomplish a given task. The ability to have some skills and the ability to make some decisions to accomplish a given task. And I want to offer to you that David is competent. And I love talking about David because one of the things that is important to me, I've seen it, and I'm sharing it, I want to share it with this congregation, because we got an issue going on. We got some parents that are getting tired, and some don't wanna be parent. But parents, I need y'all to be strong. Because children don't become strong accidentally. You can't take a child and treat them like a crocodile. The crocodile don't have nobody to teach them. They just hatch and they own their own. But we can't do that with children. So it's very important that you remain strong. And so I want to encourage you to remain strong in your efforts to raise, because it takes a village and then some. If we're going to get them to where God wants them to be, it's going to take all of us and then some. And children, I want you to understand that there's a benefit in submitting to what your parents tell you to do. The whole direction and destiny is, in essence, really tied to what happens in the family. And we've got a fellow here who's worthy of celebration and worthy of learning from. We see David, I'm telling you, he is competent. At least one thing he's mastered animal husbandry. He's mastered animal husbandry. His father has taught him how to care for sheep. And one of the things every parent ought to do is make sure their child masters something. I don't care if it's laundry. I don't care if it's cutting the grass. I don't care if it's detailing cars. I don't care if it's being the best oil changer there is. Everybody ought to teach their child to master something. for me and my family, I mean, I grew up, both of my parents came off of farms, pole farms. And so we didn't take stuff to get fixed. If it needed fixing, they had to do it themselves. And so they had to be creative. They had to be, they had to persevere. They had to sometimes make do and make tools and do it the best they could. But my daddy, back at, when we came to the city, one thing for sure, his son was gonna know how to cut some grass, how to edge a lawn. And it wasn't no none of them, you can't have none of them snaky lines. No, my daddy believed in the lines need to be straight. And he taught us how to do it. And then sometimes we just get cute. We go diagonal this way one week and go diagonal that way the other week just because we were just showing off because we knew how to do it. There's some stuff he taught us how to master. We had to go to the Lars Edward Rasko Jr. Driving School. The Lars Edward Rasko Driving School, it's a school that says when you come to a stop, nobody in the car should feel when you stop. Meaning, even if you had to brake hard, you still eased up and coasted into a stop because we are smooth operators. Some of y'all celebrating the fact that some cars have come out that will parallel park you. But back in my day, it wasn't just parallel parking. We had to know how to back up a trailer with a two-way wagon hitch. Now what that means is, ain't no sense in me taking y'all to the farm. Some of y'all only going to the farm when y'all go with me for a hayride and slaughters. Never mind, ain't no sense in. All I'm trying to tell you is my father made sure that we had mastered something. Keep telling Junior right now he can pay his rent and utilities if he just fixed two-pound cakes a week, five batches of fried chicken, he got his rent. Because somebody stayed with it until he mastered it. Everybody. David mastered animal husbandry. And here's how I know it. He mastered it because you know you've mastered it when you can work without supervision productively. In other words, he wasn't just out there playing around. His father trusted him so much so that even now in our text, there's somebody else talking about David. And you know what he's talking about? He's talking about the fact. Here's Saul in the palace, but he's talking about this young boy he heard about who's with the sheep. Because when you have mastered something at a high level, your reputation will precede you. He has mastered it. I was listening to these brothers saying God has given them a gift. And they cherish that gift, and they're using that gift. Now that gift is sending them all over the world. But they didn't start singing last week. They didn't start singing 2 years ago. They probably started in a church, in a children's choir, with somebody saying, be still, be quiet, and listen. And before you know it, God has elevated to a high level. Here we go. He's competent, but he's also committed. Over and over in the text, here's what you're going to see. Read chapter 15, read chapter 16. You're going to see his father giving him assignments. Here's the greatest commitment you can have. The greatest commitment you can have is to be obedient to your earthly father. Nowhere in the text do you see him arguing with his father. He's in the field. Matter of fact, he's so committed that in the previous, in the beginning of chapter 16, he's the only one in the field. In the beginning of chapter 16, Samuel is there because God told him, there's a man named Jesse who's got some sons, and I want you to anoint one of them to become king. And all the other brothers come to the house because nobody ever thought little David was even worthy of an interview. He's still out in the pasture because nobody thought he was worthy. And after all of the other brothers passed, the tall, dark, handsome, after all of those other brothers passed, Samuel said, hey, I know I'm at the right place. Are these all the boys you have? They said, no, we got one more, but he, him, go get him. And when he came in, the Spirit of the Lord said, he's the one. But you don't see David arguing. You don't see David fussing. You don't see David saying, na, 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 na. I love him watching now because he submitted to the will of his earthly father. You know, I'm convinced that one of the ways God decides who he's going to elevate, it could be that he's looking to see if you can submit to your earthly father, because it could be you've got a promotion in your future, but he uses the family as the foundation. I know I'm right about it. The family is the foundation. So if you can submit in the earthly family, matter of fact, I do it like this. There's a text in the New Testament that said if you're looking for an overseer, the first thing you need to check out, don't check out his clothes. Don't check out his clothes. That's how he closes the sermon. Don't be looking at gaiters. Don't be looking at can he sing. The first thing you ought to check out, his family. The idea is see if how his family, because if he can't run the family, then he's not fit to run and deal with the house of God. He's committed. I love the fact that he's committed. He's committed because he submits to the word of his father, whatever his father tells him to do. Matter of fact, you don't even see David's response. You see one time David is called for. He just shows up, and the next thing you know, he's just doing what the father says do. So not only is he committed to the word of his father, but he's committed to the will of his father. There's no conversation recorded with David, with God, with his father saying, David, would you like to? Read it. If you can find it, I'll give you $20 next week. Read it to see if you can see anywhere in chapter 15 and 16 where Jesse said, if you're not busy and if you feel like it, would you like to take a lunch to your brothers for me? You won't find it. And yet you won't, neither will you find any attitude, because he does what the Father asks him to do. He submits to his word. He submits to his will. Here's my next one. And he's David is a man, he carries his own weight. He carries his own weight. When he testifies, he says, there were some times that I was out there by myself, and I had to deal with some things by myself. Because animal husbandry, in particular, shepherding sheep, can be a lonely occupation. Here's the reason. The only way you're going to successfully shepherd sheep is that you've got to do rotational grazing. All that simply means is you got to keep sheep moving, because if you keep sheep grazing in the same place for too long, they'll tear up the pasture. So you're here, and then after a few days, you move over here, and after a few days, you got to move over here, and before you know it, you are a long way from home, and you're too far to go back home every night. So you've got to be out in the wilderness, often by yourself. But the father, Jesse, trusted his son, and his son knew how to carry his own weight. Because out there he had to deal with some things. Here it is, by himself. Listen, when the threat came, he could not tell the lion, wait a minute, let me go get daddy. Because he had to learn how to carry his own weight. When the bear showed up, he didn't say, oh, Mr. Bear, give me Give me 20 minutes. No, he had to learn how to carry his own weight. And you know, if we aren't careful and we keep carrying kids, they're going to turn into big kids. They're going to turn into grown kids. And once they've used to being carried, they'll want to be carried all the doggone life. But how many of y'all know grown folk are too big to be? Sooner or later, they need to stand on their. I got a rule at Joshua Academy at the preschool when the parents are coming in, and sometimes they think it's cute because they may only have one. And so they want to carry because they only got one. And I tell the little mamas, I said, now look, once their feet reach your knee, it's time for you to put them down. Because in this school, we ain't going to be packing no babies around this school. They got to learn how to walk and stand on their own. David carried his own weight. He knew how to carry his own weight, and he cared for others. Let me show you what happens in the text. God sometimes works two places at the same time. On one hand, God is working on David in Bethlehem. On the other hand, God is dealing with Saul at the palace. Watch the text. The text says that the Spirit of God left Saul, and God gave him an evil spirit to torment him. Now listen, don't ask me why, don't ask me how. I just believe the word said it, and so here's what I do know. He had the anointing but didn't appreciate it. He had the anointing but didn't use it to do what God said. So why would God waste it on somebody that ain't gonna do what he says? The text says it. I didn't write this. I didn't write yours. He said that God gave him an evil spirit. Then somebody said, here's what one of the attendants, they're competent, they're careful. They love this guy. And here's what they know. They know that something's wrong with this man. This ain't normal. And here's what I like about it. One of the attendants had the courage to tell him, something's wrong with you. Anytime somebody keep acting like this, it's a sign that something is wrong with you. Matter of fact, I like this guy. He's so competent. Not only did he know something was wrong with him, but he knew what was wrong with him. He says, there's a spirit from God that is tormenting you. Something's wrong with you. Wait a minute. Watch this. Here's the beautiful part about it. He loved him enough to tell him, something's wrong with you. And I'm here to tell you, if you're acting abnormal, it's good to have somebody that loves you enough that can look you in the eye with a tender tone and let you know something's. When you keep making these kind of choices, something is. But here's what I like about it. Not only does he say what's wrong, but his prayer is that the man have some relief. He said, I don't want you to remain that way. He says, why don't we try some music therapy? Why don't we try some music therapy? Why don't we search to see if we can find somebody who can play the lyre? That's NIV. Harp, it's King James Version. Our version would be guitar. What if we can find a musician, and I mean somebody who can really play. Let's search. Watch the text. The text says, let's search. Why don't you let us search and find somebody who can really play? Now watch what he said. Search, which means you don't find this kind of person on every corner. This is somebody you got to search for. We got to go beyond Mary had a little lamb. Because you got a problem, and we need somebody that can minister to you in song, watch this, to help you feel better. The song ain't gonna make you better, but it at least may make you feel better. Now they knew they couldn't do nothing about the judgment, but at least they wanted him to have relief. God has already judged that you're gonna lose this kingdom, but we at least want you to have relief. And you know what I love about this thing, Grant, Saul didn't deny it. Saul didn't argue when they said something's wrong with you. He knew it. He didn't argue. He didn't debate. He didn't try to throw him under the bus. He says, you're right. Watch what God's doing. Cynthia, God is working in the palace and the pasture at the same time. He's working, preparing David, and he's also providing some relief for Saul. Another attendant, I really do believe it's another attendant. Another attendant then says, because they care about Saul. Put your finger on the 18th verse. This other attendant speaks up, and watch what he says. He says, I know somebody. Here's what we find out about David. He's competent, he's committed, he carries his own weight, and he lives a life that can be complimented by others. It's somebody else in the palace that's talking about David who's in the pasture. Watch me, I'm gonna walk through this. Verse 18, put your finger on it. He says, I've seen a son of Jesse. Stop right there. What does Jesse got to do with it? Let me go old school. Can I go old school? Let me go old school. Old school, when I'd bring somebody home that my mama and daddy never met, my mama would say, who is that? And I'm trying to get in a real quick word because my mama, she know that we try to get in the house. It ain't raining, but we trying to get in the house because I got some toys in the house that I want to show off that I can't necessarily bring outside. But before my mama let him get in the house, she says, who are you? And she goes a step further, who's your mama and daddy? I didn't understand it when I was little. What mama and daddy got to do with it? But mama and daddy had everything to do with it because my mother would determine where we would play based upon who the child came from. If they came from the wrong crowd, she'd say, y'all go play some ball, I'll bring you some Kool-Aid. If she came from somebody that she knew and knew their standards, morals, and character, she would welcome them in the house. But they ain't gonna let just any old body come up in the house that they don't know. And it ain't just about the child, it's about who's your daddy. So they deal with this right off the back. He's one of Jesse's boys. Jesse's got a good reputation. Now let me help y'all up in here, because we in church. Thank God for the church. You know why you ought to thank God for the church? Some of y'all ought to be thanking God for the church right now. Because if the truth be told, some of our mamas and daddies don't have a reputation that warrants us having access to some places. Rasco was a good name. McKee was a good name for most of the family. But I got some good news for you. If you don't have the benefit of a good name, all you need to do is claim the Father. If you'll claim Jesus, the Father will adopt you into his family. Have I got a witness here? And you ain't got to talk about Buki Nim, T. Wayne Nim. You can talk about the Lord. Save my soul. I go to such and such a church. My Sunday school teacher is Mrs. So-and-so. I operate in the such and such a ministry. I'm one of the leaders of Boys to Men. You can share your own testimony. If your mama and daddy was jacked up, that don't mean you gotta stay jacked up, because when you hook up with Jesus, he's Jesse's boy. Wait a minute. But I can go a little further than that. He knows how to play the lyre. Watch this. This guy, we don't know his name, but he's giving a personal reference. I know who he is. I know where he's from. I've heard him play. Watch this. He's saying, you know my taste of music. I'm asking you to trust what you know about me. He knows how to play. Let me take it a step further. He's a brave man. He's got courage. Deborah, why is that important? Well, that's all a part of the job description, because we're getting ready to do music therapy on somebody who has an evil spirit. And when Saul go crazy, you're going to need somebody who's brave. You're going to need somebody who won't mess up the song when Saul starts cussing. You're going to need somebody that still knows what verse he was on and knows how to take it to the vamp, even when Saul's throwing something at his head. You need somebody that can keep on singing in a hostile atmosphere. He's brave. He's brave. Hey, and a warrior, which means he ain't just talk to talk. He's been in a few battles. Well, how did they learn about this? Goliath ain't till the next chapter. Wait a minute, Samaja. How do they know about him being brave? Because Goliath is in chapter 17. Sweetheart, that's because anytime a young boy take out a bear, the word gets out. Anytime a young boy take out a lion by himself, The word gets out. When you stand and do what folk don't think you can do. The word gets out. He's brave. He's a warrior. Wait a minute. He speaks well. He's got some charisma. He's articulate. Now, it takes more than just knowing how to speak. But part of that is tied to not just how to speak, you need to know what to say. And it helps to know how to say it. And most of all, which is some of y'all's something that's dear to every member in the church, especially if I go in 15 more minutes. Pastor, he's all right. And I'm just waiting for the illustration. I'm looking for bags and seeing what he's going to illustrate today. But he gets to talking about food if he goes too long. It's not just how to speak, but what to say, how to say it, and when. He speaks well. Wait, I got one more. And he's good looking. Now y'all, that's shallow. That's shallow. It's in there. We don't like to admit it, but we gravitate to what we like. And it helps. Now here's the truth. Here's the truth. Everybody's good looking to somebody. Everybody's good looking to somebody. And the reason why this is so shallow is because I remember I had a friend. He's biracial and he's got this sandy curly hair. He had it. And he was always critical of the girls that I was attracted to. We'd be in church, and I never will forget. And I said, man, that Trudy boy. And that was back in the day. That was back in the day when they ushered in mini skirts. And that Trudy was wearing them heels, and she always bent her knee back. But he said, "Look how she bends her knee back." I said, "Ah, you may not like it." I said, "But that's." And he said, "But man, her hair ain't long. Her hair ain't long." I'm like, "I don't, you know." And he was always critical of somebody else. I said, "Well, look, I don't need you to like him. The question is if I can just get her to like me. Because I know I'm fishing out of my league. I know I'm going out of my league. I don't care whether you like her. The question is, can I get her to like me?" And I tell you, if you go down in prayer, another story, another sermon, another day. But here's my point. He's single to this day. We've been married 37, going on 38 years. He ain't got nobody because he was so critical. But everybody is, you know, everybody. Beauty's in the eye. That's shallow. Here's the best part. Way too long on that. Here's the best part. Hey, and the Lord is with him. Look at this. I'll wrap this up right here. Here we go. David was committed. He was competent, carried his own weight. He lived so that others could compliment him. Here's what I want to tell you. It is always better when somebody else speaks on your behalf. Come here, think about it. Who wants to listen to a person saying, "Well, I can, and I can, and I can, and I can, and I can"? Because what happens, it's really them grading their own paper. But when somebody else says, that person will serve you, that person will be honest with you, that person will go to bat for you, that person will, when somebody else says it, it's always better than you saying it for yourself. And watch what he says. Watch what he says. I love what he says. He says, "I've seen this son. I've heard him play. He is a brave man. He is a warrior, and the Lord is." See, if he had said one day he's the kind of candidate where the Lord may be with him, He didn't say that. He said, here's what I've seen. The Lord is with him. Question, how can you tell the Lord is with him? Well, the truth is, I got two examples. I got a Saul on one side. I got a David on the other side. I got one that loses his cotton picking mind at the drop of the hat. I got another one that faces lions and bears, oh my. I got one that won't do what God tells him to do. I got another one that'll be an Uber service for his father. There's one that is cussing, trying to kill everybody. There's another one that's trying to deliver food and help others. I got two that I can look at. One is cussing, one is singing. One is creating an atmosphere that's filled with tension. Another is creating an atmosphere that is filled with love. It don't take much to be able to recognize the difference. Hey, how many of y'all been on the tour at Toyota? Just you? Oh, y'all, Murphy, we gonna have a church event. We need to take everybody to Toyota. Oh, y'all, been up there, it's been up there 20 some years. Y'all never been on the tour? It's free. They don't feed you, but it's free. Murphy, do it. Put it together, pick a date. We gonna take Nazarenes going to Toyota. Y'all seen Tracy? Did you see Tracy on them commercials and all of that stuff? They should have paid him for that. Charlie up there, Dre up there somewhere. Sis in the back, where is she? They're all over the place. You gotta go. Cause here's I close with this illustration. One of my favorite parts of Toyota is the fact you got a plant where stuff is coming from different sides. But everything that is created within the walls and everything that comes to and through the walls, it is going on a vehicle that is already sold. They don't make nothing to just go sit somewhere in inventory. Every single piece has a name on it. And my favorite part is that on one end you've got the frame that's coming through and they putting stuff on it. And then on the other side you've got a body that's coming through and they putting stuff on it. And then there's a place in the middle where the frame and the body comes together. I mean, you got a red car, then a gray car, then a black car, all one behind the other. You got one colored seats, brown, gray, and you got one colored set of wheels and all of that kind of stuff. But all of it is totally and completely synchronized. It comes from one end and they meet. And my favorite part is where the body joins with the frame. They come together something like this. And then it attaches and then it goes down the frame. It goes down the line again and they take the doors off again. And they start putting stuff on, and then it comes back together. I know what you're saying. I promise you, 2 minutes, I'm done. Pastor, what in the world does that got to do? The reason why we can celebrate the goodness of God, the reason why we can preach and sing, and we know that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, it's because God is always working. And God is so big, He don't have to leave the west side to go on the north side to do what he do. He can work on the north, south, east, and west all at the same time. God can work on a little boy in a pasture, making and preparing him for a time in the palace, and God can work in the palace, eliminating somebody that won't follow him, and in his own time, God can bring it all together and synchronize it so that it'll work together for your good. But here's the catch. There's a process that's got to go before it all comes together. You see, David, he didn't start learning to be a king 2 weeks before. No, that happened in the palace. I told you earlier, these fellas didn't start singing last week. No, that happened 20-some years ago. They started working, walking in obedience to God's will, and at God's appointed time, he will bring it together. That's why you got to trust him. That's why you got to serve him. That's why you got to love him and trust and learn the word of God, and he'll reveal the will of God. And before you know it, God has synced something in your life that you never dreamed possible. In the meantime, learn to be competent. Master something. In the meantime, learn to be committed to the will of the Father, to the Father's word. In the meantime, decide you're going to carry your own weight. In the meantime, live in such a way where somebody else can say a word on your behalf. Because a good referral from somebody else is better than a personal testimony any day. Have I got a witness here? Put an amen right there if you can.